You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a nonprofit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper and be in good health even as your soul prospers. Unto the Lord, for he
as a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, all of your gifts are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com. God bless you.
Listen to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio on Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, Spreaker.com. All of our broadcasts are available as podcasts through SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, Blueberry.com, Zoom.com, Stitcher.com, Lisbon.com, and BlogTalkRadio.com. To listen to our broadcast by phone, dial 646-478-0660. Again, that number is 646-478-0660. Go visit and like our Facebook page, When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Also be sure to check out Christians Against Suicide and Depression. It's a page dedicated to sharing God's love, encouragement, and hope. There are prayer warriors standing by to receive prayer requests, doing intercession for those under attack by the lie and deception of the devil. We know that the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, but praise God, Jesus came to set the captives free.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. To me he is so wonderful. To me he is so wonderful. To me he is so wonderful. Because he first loved me, I'm singing, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first Christ loved me. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Dead and still. Have your way during this hour, Father. Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit. Speak to your people. Hallelujah. Pour out your love. Let it just flow through the atmosphere. We know that the prince of this world is trying to distract us, cause us to be fearful by all these shadows of death. But we thank you, Lord, that we see you in the midst of all of this darkness. You are a bright light. You are our guiding light to lead us through these times. We thank you that your word is a light to our path. We thank you that you're ordering our steps. We just surrender and we rest in you. We cease from our works and we labor to enter into your rest. And we thank you. We thank you for your provision, for all that you have done for us. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard all that you have prepared for us, your children. We thank you. We bless you. And it's in Christ Jesus' name that I pray. Amen and amen. So hello, hello, hello. Praise the Lord. Welcome to another hour of Declaring the Finished Work. This is your host, Pat Randall. Amen, amen. You know, I was listening to a teaching recently, encouraging myself in the Lord and listening to one of my favorite teachers who is, one of them is Joseph Prince, and I happened to be listening to Joseph Prince, and he was talking about during this time of isolation, the separation that's going on in the world where we are staying at home, and it's, he says that our houses become like a boat, and he talked about the scriptures, I think it was in Matthew, when Jesus had just finished, well, actually in several of the gospel, it talks about the feeding of the 5,000 with the loaves and the fish. So he just finished feeding the 5,000, and he sends his disciples off into a boat, And he goes up to the mountains to pray. And the storm arises as the disciples are trying to get across the sea, and they're just struggling against the winds, and Jesus is coming, walking across the water, and he sees them struggling, and when they see him, they become afraid. They think, is this a ghost that they're seeing? And it was actually Jesus, and Peter was one of the brave disciples in that moment. He was the brave disciple who yelled out, "Jesus, Lord, if that is you, bid me to come out to you." And Jesus said, "Come," and Peter had the courage to step out in the midst of this storm, mind you. It wasn't like a calm day. It was a storm, and he stepped out on the water, and he began to walk toward the Lord. And of course, he got a little, in the story, it tells us that he got distracted, and he was looking at the wind and the waves, and he began to sink because he took his eyes off Jesus, and he cried out for help. "Save me, Lord." And the Lord came to him, reached down, and lifted him up out of the waters. And they got into the boat, and the moment he stepped into the boat, they were on the other side. And so here we are, each one of us, we're in our boat. And I want to ask you today, is Jesus, can you see Jesus in the boat with you? Do you see him? And we have to be able to see Jesus in every circumstance. It doesn't matter how terrible things start to look. You need to be able to see Jesus. But anyway, I don't want to get into my exhortation for today, my teaching. I am going to try and finish off the podcast series, Where Do You Live? Where Are You Going? This is part 7. Last week, I aired a previous broadcast that I did in, I think it was 2016 or 17. And it was titled Inner Life versus Outer Life. And if you missed it, go out to blogtalkradio.com/onechristianspeak. And start to look through the catalog, and you'll see last week's, or go out to our Facebook page, because there's a post out there with the link to that particular message. So today we're going to try and finish up the series, Where Do You Live? Where Are You Going? And I dedicated the first 4 or 5 parts of this series to Where Do You Live? Which is a very important question that you need to answer for yourself. Where do you live? Where are you? Where is your reality that you're living in? What is the reality that you're living in? Is it the reality that the world gives us, and the reality that the world shows us? Or is it the reality of the kingdom of God? But I am finishing off this series with Where Are You Going? And in the last episode of this particular series, which was part 6, I talked about having a single eye, how important it is for us to have a visual of, not a visual, but a spiritual vision, to be able to see as God sees. And in order for us to be able to have this vision, we have to have the mind of Christ. We have to have a mindset that clears out the darkness that can sometime overshadow what the Lord is actually trying to show us, because we get caught up in the externals. We get caught up in the temporal world. Just like that storm, when Jesus came walking on that on the water, and the disciples were in the boat during that storm, well, the storm wasn't there forever. It was a temporary situation. And when Jesus spoke to the storm, it immediately stopped. So these are temporal, the things that we see, all of the danger, it's all temporal. This virus, it's a temporal thing that is definitely straight from the pit of hell. If you've listened to how this thing comes in, and it specifically, interesting enough, it specifically targets out the respiratory cells in our body. So it's attacking our breathing. And breath is important. And God is the one who gives us breath. Amen. So I am not surprised that the enemy would attack our breathing. I believe that this season is testing us. Excuse me. I believe the season is testing us on where our level of trust in God is. This is definitely an opportunity to increase our level of trust. For those of us who've been in the body of Christ for a while, and we've been diligently reading our scriptures and listening to the messages and being involved in ministry and, you know, the things that we do. Amen. That we need to question whether we believe all the things that we have read in the scriptures about who God is. Especially because in these last days, our Father spoke through his Son, Christ Jesus. Okay? The Old Testament was a shadow of what was to come. There was a lot of prophecy about what was coming and about our Lord and Savior. Amen. But the Holy Spirit acted on the earth, but he did not come and take residence on the inside. During those times, they had an external temple that housed the Spirit of God. And now, glory to God, we have the opportunity to be that temple and to house the Spirit of God. Can you imagine that this great, magnificent God wants to make his abode in us? In us. That is amazing within itself. And it requires time for us to sit back some and spend some time just thinking about that. Just think about how amazing that is, how incredible that is. Amen. So we're going to hit some scriptures today, and we're going to, you know, if there is some fog in our thought life that's really, that needs to be cleared out, I believe that the Holy Spirit will come in like a rushing wind and will blow out whatever is obstructing your view so that you can clearly see where you are going in this season. In this season. Amen. And also know that God knew that this was coming. because he knows the beginning from the end. So he is not surprised by this attack by the enemy. The journey that we are on has it will take twists and turns. Things will happen that we didn't expect. There are times when God will show us what is coming, but that is not always the case. And understandably so, because, I mean, when I think about the things that I knew that God had spoken that was coming in my life, I did a whole different interpretation on what it was going to look like and how it was going to show up. And when it didn't show up the way or play out the way I thought it should have played out, I'm discouraged. I'm disappointed. I'm let down. But these are all things that I actually created. When I talked earlier in the episodes, I talked about illusions. We create illusions. I mean, the world creates them, but we're also part of, because especially when we're taking part in how this world works, we begin to imagine and create these illusions that are not real ourselves. And when these illusions do not come to pass, we're disappointed or we're depressed or we're angry with God. God wants us, our Father wants us to see his kingdom as our reality. That's where he wants us to live. And when we're living in his kingdom, we have a clear vision and we can see clearly what is going on around us in the natural realm. We can see what the kingdom of darkness is up to, his plots and his plans, his deceptions, his distortions, his perversions. We can see it coming a mile away, because we are living in the kingdom of God as our reality. And we can see everything that is not unreal. We can see everything that is unreal. I used a double negative. That we can see everything that is unreal. We can discern the truth from a lie. And we know that the prince of this world is the father of lies. And that's all that he can do. That's all that he can present to us. Our lies. Amen. So let us go to, I believe I'm going to, you know what? Hold on a second. I believe I should read out Matthew 7 first. So we're going to go to Matthew 7 and I think I'm going to start in verse 21, even though my main focus is going to be on verses 24 through 27. But I like this lead in starting in 21. And basically the theme of that, this section of verses 21 to 23 is Jesus declaring that I never knew you. Now listen to what he says. Verse 21. This is Matthew 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. I never knew you. Which implies that they really weren't concerned in developing a relationship with the Lord. But their motive was very selfish. It was less Christ-centered and more self-centered. And when they prophesied with incorrect motives, cast out demons. They did all these mighty works, all these things they were able to perform because they believed they were able to perform, but they never really knew who Jesus was. They never really knew the heart of Jesus. And because they didn't take the time to know the heart of Jesus so that they could express the heart of Jesus in everything that they do, they missed it. They missed it because they believed that it was about their performance. And that's what we don't want, to fall into that rut of thinking that it is about our performance. It is all about what Jesus did, his finished works on the cross. If it was not for the cross, we would not even be able to be saved. It is all because of what Jesus has done. The Holy Spirit coming alongside of us, living inside of us, being our comforter and our helper. That's all because of Jesus. Jesus went to the Father and sent the Holy Spirit. And to focus on what you do will distract you from where you're really should be going, what you really should be doing according to the will of the Father, because it's no longer about you. You step back and you know it's all about what the Lord has done, and you just live and move and have your being in him. You walk by the Spirit. Let's move on. So this next section, which I want to really focus on because I think it's so applicable for, excuse me, for what we are dealing with right now. And this whole section is entitled, Build Your House on the Rock. Build your house. Right? This is your living place. Your reality. Build your reality on the rock. Build your house on the rock. Where you're living, build it on the rock. Let that foundation for your life be the rock. Okay, verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So it is important, of course, where we are building our house. Is it founded on the rock that's higher than I? Hallelujah. Christ Jesus. That's the only sure foundation. with all this shaking that's going on in the earth. What will remain is that which is unshakable. And God created us, his children, to be unshakable, to be confident in him, the creator of the universe, the one who knows how everything works. All wisdom, all power. It's all in his hand. And he has so graciously, through the giving of his son, has given us access to himself, to all of it. He's not hiding anything. And as much as we can receive, that's how much that we will be able to have. Not earn, but receive. Amen. Now I'm going to go to Hebrews 4. This is a chapter about rest. If your mind is not restful during these times, you will not be able to hear what God is speaking and to see what he is trying to show you, because he's doing something greater than this COVID-19 virus. He is offering us something greater. And he's showing us that in these times, when this virus is trying to come against us, that we can be more than conquerors, because he has overcome the world. But you're not going to be able to walk in this and move in this if your mind and your heart is not at rest. You know, we have the peace of God. And the way that we maintain it, he's already given us his peace. He said he gave us his peace, not as the world gives, that he gives. And it's resident. This peace is resident on the inside of us. But we have to access it. In this Hebrews 4 says we have to labor to get into this place of rest, this place of really peace. That's what rest is. It's peace. It's peace. It's peace in God and peace with God. This is not time to be thinking that God is angry with you, that you are being punished. This is not the time, because those kinds of thoughts will only bring unrest. While we were yet sinners, while we were yet enemies of the cross, he gave his son. He sent him. He died upon the cross. He died upon the cross. We didn't meet any kind of requirement. We didn't meet one requirement. This was all done out of the heart of the Father. This is how he loves. The scripture tells us perfect love casts out. It drives out fear. And as you are moving in it and receiving this perfect love, fear can't stay. That spirit of fear cannot stay. But you have to be confident about that perfect love that the Father has for you. That Jesus so loved the world. He gave up his life. He gave up his life. He gave up his life. And the process that he had to go through in giving up his life It wasn't easy. They tortured this man. They put him on display. Beat him unrecognizably. And then nailed him to the cross. Nails in his hands and in his feet. And pressed a crown of thorns on his head. He shed his blood for us. He prayed to the Father to forgive us, for we know not what we do. That we don't fully understand what we're doing when we reject him. Because we've been blinded by the prince of this world. That's what he does. He blinds you. You're under his blindness. That's what spiritual darkness does. It blinds you so you can't see. So where are you going when you can't see? Do you even know what direction you're headed in? Well, anyway, let's get to Hebrews 4. Let me read. I'm going to start in verse 1 in this particular chapter. Let's see. Let's see where we're going to go from here. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, I'm going to read that again. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, it's a promise. Let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them. Why did it not benefit them? Let's read on. Because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest. As he said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience. Disobedience comes as a result of wrong believing. We act out of whatever it is that we're believing. So if we're believing incorrectly, then we're going to act incorrectly. We're going to do things, and that's being disobedient. Again, this is verse 7. Again, he appoints a certain day. Today. Saying through David so long afterward, in the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Do not fail to give this your full attention. Meditate on the words that are going forth from God through his scriptures. Because if you don't, your heart will be hardened. You have to let this living word get down in on the inside of you. And the only way it's going to get on the inside of you is you spend time chewing on it, digesting it, swallowing it. Sometimes you got to bring it back up and chew it some more. But you're getting all your nutrients out of it. Because it's the bread of life. Jesus is the living word. For if Joshua, this is verse 8, for if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. I'm going to read verse 8 again. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So only God can give us this rest. No man can give us this rest. So then, verse 9, so then there remains a Sabbath rest. Not a Sabbath day, but a Sabbath rest for the people of God. This is what has been given to us through the cross of Jesus Christ. A Sabbath rest for the people of God. Joshua, who led the Israelites into the promised land, the natural promised land, he could not give them this rest. This rest that God spoke of. Verse 10. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Rested from his works, from your works, from your own works, okay? As God did from his. Just put it down. Just put it down. It's hard for us to do that. To cease from our own works. It's hard for us to die so that we might live. We don't want to let go. We don't want to let go of whatever it is that we've accomplished, whatever we've achieved. We don't want to let go of the reputation of it. We don't want to let go of possibly the fame and the attention. We don't want to let go of it. But to enter in to this Sabbath rest, the only way you're going to get in there is to rest from your own works. To cease from your own works. Let us therefore strive, labor, to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. See, when you get into that unrestful state, when you can't rest your mind, that's when you start doing all of these disobedient acts. That's why you need to labor to get in there, into this place of God's rest. It's not you. The work that was begun in your life was begun by Jesus. And he is the one who will finish it. He'll complete it. He's going to perfect it until the day of his return. So he'll be, which means it's a process. He's going to be working on you until he comes back for you. Let him do it. The minute you find yourself getting all stressed up and worked out and how is this going to work out and what I'm going to do tomorrow, you know, the scripture, I don't want to get into that now because that'll open up a whole nother, 40 minutes if I start reading about being anxious for nothing and giving no thought for tomorrow. Even though we've been taught the scripture, we've read the scriptures ourselves, have we ever really lived it? Have we done the word of God? Take no thought for tomorrow. We can say we're going to do this, we're going to do that, you know, but we have no control over what tomorrow brings. But we know the one who knows our tomorrows. Can we be satisfied and content and restful in that place? In this place of rest, we can hear clearly, we can see clearly, and we know what to do clearly. We're not anxious. We're not stressed. Because we're one with the one who knows all things, who's in our tomorrows, who's numbered our days here on this planet, who loves us perfectly, who has given us a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. He's given us these things freely, undeserved, unearned. He has given us these things. Let's read this verse 12. It's a powerful verse. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's what the word of God does, because it's alive. It discerns the thoughts and intentions of our heart. Because it's light. And we don't have to be afraid of the light. We can step into the light with confidence. We are forgiven. Our sin was taken to the cross. We are a new creation. Glory to God. Verse 13 says, and no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So there is no reason, or there's no value in trying to hide and pretend before your Father, because he sees all things. Everything is exposed before his eyes. So just humbly come before him. Knowing that he sees you exactly as you are. But he asks you to come. Come. There's nothing that's separating us. The veil has been rent in the temple that separated the Holy of Holies, and only a high priest could go in. That has been done away. We can boldly come before his throne, seek his mercy, trust him. Because we need to be washed daily. I mean, in this world we get exposed to so much stuff. It's like the dust from the road on this dusty road that we're on in the earth. And so we need the word. We need the daily washing of the word to just cleanse where we've been walking. You know how Jesus washed the disciples' feet? He washed the dirt off it. You know, so the places we walk and go, and as we move through this earth, there are things that stick, you know. Some stuff we can see clearly that, you know, it has lodged itself between our toes and under our nails. But there are some things that are more subtle. But being in the Word and in the presence of God and speaking with the Holy Spirit in a very intimate manner, knowing that you're talking to someone and he is listening. And just being washed, just this daily washing that needs to take place. Every day we need to be washed, and that we can come and just step under this wonderful waterfall to cleanse. And also thank God for our sisters and brothers. I mean, just the other day I was talking to my brother Ray Rose, the founder of the radio broadcast, and there were some things that he said that just reminded me about having the right perspective. Having the right perspectives. You know, sometimes we can drift back to some of this old thinking. Well, in fact, some old thinking that, you know, you're not even aware that it's still lingering and hanging about. You know, it may be on the edges, but when something comes up, it sort of makes its way back into the center of your thoughts. And it's like, well, where did this? Oh, yeah, that's, you know, you've got to recognize the authority of God in your life. That he is fully present in your life. That his love for you is fully present. And it's, I mean, all of it. It's not like a portion of his love. The fullness of his love is for you is present. You know, it's not like what the world gives you. It's not like even what your parents can give you. It has no limits. The love that the Father has for you, the love that Jesus has for you, the love that the Holy Spirit has for you, there's no limits to it. No height, no depth. It's always expanding as you receive more and you find out that there's even more. You are like, wow, I'm so amazed that he loves me. And then he takes that love to another level that you can see that, oh, it gets better than that. Yeah, and it should be getting better. Your relationship with the Lord should be getting greater. You should be expanding your knowledge of this love that he has for you. Your heart should be bursting and overflowing with the love that he has for you. Oh, he loves you. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life, what more could he give? Oh, how he loves you, oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Amen, amen. Well, I am going to, I think this is the final episode for this particular podcast series, but you never know. But if there is some more, I'll be back next week with it. Praise the Lord. I want to pray that in these dangerous times that we are not surrounded by danger, but we are surrounded by the presence of God. There's this presence of God round about us, and the danger is outside of that. You have to labor to enter into that rest. Your mind or your flesh will try and war against the knowledge of this truth. But stay under his wings. It's a safe place to be. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. There are a lot of things that's trying to penetrate your life, infiltrate. But guard your heart with all diligence. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of a good report, think on these things. Reminisce about all the great things that God has done in your life and how he has delivered you in times when you thought there was no way and he made a way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, Father, right now, I thank you that the spirit of peace is flowing out right now through these airways and touching the hearts of the people who are listening right now. That they feel a strong sense of your presence, your loving presence, your protecting presence round about them, like the mountains around about Jerusalem. You encircle them. I thank you that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. That's your promise. And we receive that promise. We give thanks. We rejoice always. We pray without ceasing. And we give thanks in all things. Because we know the one who loves us and who gave his life for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you for joining me again for this particular podcast. Hallelujah. Friday Night Joy tomorrow night with Pastor Ray Rose at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then we got, let's see, what this weekend, what do we have coming up? Oh, we've got the Bold and Beautiful. Yes, B&B, Bold and Beautiful. And that's on Saturday, this coming Saturday at 10 a.m. And that is with your hosts, Reverend Curtis and Reverend Novena and Minister Jordana. So that's 10 a.m. And of course, you can listen to it anytime. It's a podcast, so anytime after the regular airing of it at 10 a.m., you can go back. Look, go to their Facebook page, Bold and Beautiful Facebook page, and click on the link. Amen. And then this coming Sunday is the second Sunday. So that's the Bread of Life, again, with Pastor Ray Rose. And that's at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So be blessed. Be blessed in a time when, you know, the world thinks that we should all be floundering and questioning and being tossed to and fro. You stand on the rock, this the rock of Christ Jesus. It will not move. It will not shift. Everything that we've read in the Bible is true. Nothing is impossible with God. He is the one that makes a way where there is no way. He's the one that steps into your boat and the storm ceases. Amen. Glory to God. Love you, love you, love you, love you. And hope that you'll be with me next week. And God willing, I'll be here. Amen. To just encourage you in just the things of the Lord. And encourage you in the love that the Lord has for you. And the mercy. His mercies are new every day. So let me just stop this broadcast. So hallelujah. God bless you. And bye.